This is the Voice of Business presented by the Worcester Regional Chamber of Commerce on the Radio Worcester Network. It is sponsored by Fidelity Bank, and we are very pleased to be joined by Brad Curlin, Senior Vice President, Chief Technology Officer for Fidelity Bank. And Brad's been working in cybersecurity with financial institutions for the past 20 years plus. And October, as we are all aware, is Cybersecurity Awareness Month. And Fidelity Bank has partnered with the American Bankers Association to help prevent not only the bank's clients, but also the general public from falling victim to cyber-related fraud through the ABA's Bank Never Ask That campaign. Brad, welcome.
Thanks for the introduction, Hank.
Brad, I will admit that until today, I did not know that it was actually Cybersecurity Awareness Month, but I am glad that we have such a thing because I honestly think that it is on many people's minds in this day and age. So you've got a very interesting job. I'm willing to bet it's kind of a stressful job as well. Give us, if you will, just tell us a little bit about what it is that you do, and then we'll talk about some of the common threats that are out there.
Yeah, sure. So in my role as the Chief Technology Officer for the bank, my position really is to protect our customers' data and make sure that it's not breached and lost into the public internet somewhere. So you are correct. It is a very stressful job because there's always attacks and there's always new ways for attackers trying to get in.
I guess when I think of, and again, we'll get to the common threats in a moment. I mean, are you just kind of staring at the computer all day in an active combat, or what's that like? I mean, like, how do you even know that you're being attacked?
That's a very good question. So, when a customer looks at a bank and they go, "Why is there so many fees and everything else?" The bank has very complex systems that help identify attacks before the attack actually happens. So we spend a lot of money in cybersecurity and technologies to help protect that data. So we're looking for anomalies in data and any kind of alerts that may pop up.
Brad, what are the most common threats then to bank consumers? And as you tell me how they start, are there things that I should be doing as a bank customer that can help prevent some of the most common frauds?
Yeah, sure. Fraud to customers can be as simple as random emails or text messages, phone calls, or they can be elaborate computer hacking techniques. The title of the Cybersecurity Awareness Program for American Bankers Association this month is called Banks Don't Ask That. Banks will never contact you and ask you for personal information, such as your passwords, debit card number, social security number, ATM PIN numbers, date of birth. If they're your bank, they already know this information.
Right.
The fraudsters may already have pieces of this information and just need a few more pieces to complete their scam. Another important tip is to make sure that your computer, mobile devices, and Wi-Fi are up to date for any security updates. Fraudsters, as soon as there's a vulnerability or a hole in technology that's identified, they know this and they try and take advantage of your systems in order to attack you.
Yeah.
Another great tip is not to use public Wi-Fis or public computers, especially like when accessing your really critical banking data, because attackers, they're easy targets for attackers to use.
A lot of this seems like common sense. It also seems like the kind of thing, Brad, that we're often very lax about.
It's very true. One of the things is stay up to date on your router configurations at home. To a lot of people, that may sound Greek, but it's the device that your cable company or your Verizon Fios puts in that allows you to access the internet. Those things require updates. Hopefully your providers are doing the updates, but you need to make sure that they are, because that's how people can get into your home networks.
Wow. All right. So we've got to be aware. Great advice also that there are just these things that a bank would never ask that. And that's just an easy thing for us to keep in our mind. Why would the bank ask that? They've already got that information. You know, I think sometimes we hear about these scams and we think, oh, I would never fall for that. People are going to pay you to cash a check for you, or I don't know, every once in a while somebody will say that on Facebook will pop up, hey, it's your granddad, I'm in Canada, or I guess more to the point, hey, granddad, I'm in Canada, you gotta help me out, I got in some trouble, and Craigslist and all of these other things. How often is that really happening, Brad, and how often are people actually being scammed through that?
It happens more than you may think. You brought up a good example. A lot of times, attackers will go after somebody trying to sell something on an online selling platform such as a Craigslist. And one of the major scams that we see all the time is the person will actually overpay them for the item. And then the honest buyer says, the honest person says, hey, you overpaid me for this item. The attacker will then say, oh, yep, you know what, I overpaid you. And to sweeten the deal for you, they're going to let you keep half of the overpayment, and they're going to send you instructions for the other half of the payment. So they've built a sense of urgency, they've built a sense of rapport with you, and you send half that money back to them. But in the meantime, their original payment doesn't clear, and then that consumer is out that money. So it's something that happens quite frequently.
Oh, boy. And, you know, and be out that money. I saw a scam recently where the poor person somehow kind of got browbeaten into going and getting gift cards. And then there wasn't really much recourse for them to be able to try and get their money back. So with the bank, if I feel that I've been scammed, that there's a fraudulent transaction, or I think that I might be the victim of identity theft or identity fraud, bank fraud, what do I do? Is my first call right to the bank?
That would be my first recommendation. If you think any of your accounts have been compromised because of fraudulent activity or suspicious activity, make sure you contact your customer contact at your bank or financial institution. They're going to have protocols in place on how to deal with it, whether it's putting holds on your account, putting holds on your debit cards. Another important thing is if you actually have monetary loss, you need to contact your local law enforcement. And the reason for that, there's two reasons for that. The first reason is your financial institution may actually require a report to the police in order for them to process that fraudulent transaction. But it also helps local law enforcement and national law enforcement, such as the FBI, trend fraud that's happening and hopefully take down some of these fraud rings that happen.
I have to say, Brad, I think that, you know, banks and Fidelity, I mean, I think that you guys do such a good job now of sort of helping us as customers keep track of this. Hey, this doesn't look quite right. Hey, or, you know, here you're somewhere we don't think that you should be. You know, you're using your credit card, you're buying something. This is kind of an odd country to be buying something from. And we'll get those alerts that now banks are doing.
Yep, that's part of some of the sophisticated technologies that we put into place. You know, we always recommend that if someone's going to be traveling outside their normal purchase areas, to contact us and let us know. That way we can make sure that they don't get blocked. But when we see transactions from a customer that always does transactions in the New England area, and all of a sudden they do a transaction one day in Texas and then the next day in Washington State, our systems are smart enough to detect that that's not a normal pattern, and we can trigger those alerts.
Yeah, boy, isn't that something? We're speaking with Brad Curlin, Chief Technology Officer for Fidelity Bank. Just a fascinating job I think that he has. Brad, we've unfortunately over the last 6-7 months, this is the question that we have to ask everybody here on Voice of Business. But what, if any, impact has COVID-19 had on cybersecurity?
Very, very critical question during these times, obviously. Attackers are very opportunistic. They try and take advantage of any situation. I know during the last election, we heard about how attackers took advantage of the election process to take advantage of customers. But during COVID, we've definitely seen a sharp increase in fraud. We see people that will stand up fake websites that look completely legitimate to try and raise money for people or organizations having to deal with COVID in an attempt to take your money. The other big fraud that we've seen is a rise in fraud in the unemployment claims. People are fake unemployment claims for, you know, neighbors or people that they think aren't working, that aren't filing unemployment, and they're getting deposited into fraudulent bank accounts. We at Fidelity Bank, we actively look for deposits going into an account where the names don't match. I can't say that all organizations do that, but most reputable organizations will not accept a deposit into an account that has a different name on it.
Boy, I'll tell you, unfortunately, our time is growing short. People want to learn more about protecting their data identity, particularly what Fidelity Bank can do for them. How do they go about doing that?
Well, Fidelity Bank, we're going to be continuing a cybersecurity education through the month and ongoing really forever. We're always trying to put out tips to our customers. But we are also having a small business cybersecurity workshop on October 29th. The workshop is going to take a much deeper dive into some of the topics we discussed, really get into some of the terminology, definitions, more helpful tips on what they can do. There'll be more information to come soon on the dates and times for that workshop. You can follow us on any of the social media platforms, or you can go to our website at www.fidelitybankonline.com, and we'll be posting the details there soon.
Perfect. Yeah, check out that seminar October 29th. Brad Kerlin, Chief Technology Officer for Fidelity Bank. Thank you so much for joining us on Voice of Business.
Thanks for the time, Hank. I appreciate it.